The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada at the D. What's happening, man?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm good. Headphones aren't very great today, but you know that, that's great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Got it. We'll get that worked.
Awesome. Gate, I believe you kids call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the show today, Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen will join us, talk NBA and French Open, which we'll talk about momentarily. Believe you me. And then, of course, the Crackman, unscripted Bill Krakenberger, will come on the show. Plus, and it says here in my rundown, Kelly, and I know it says it in my rundown because you wrote the rundown. It says, Ben Wilson on college baseball, comma, all-around nice guy. Kelly makes judgments on our guests now as well. So if it goes the other way, I'll let you know as well.
I think it said Live Bet Sunday co-host with Kelly Bidlin in front of it.
It
too.
Did, yes.
And then overall
and then
nice guy.
All overall nice, overall nice guy, pardon me. Yes.
I never know if you get
which
catch
Ben
things,
is, by the way.
I leave little Easter eggs in the rundown. Yeah. Gil caught that
just one. Just to see if I'm paying attention. It's like, yeah, Gil didn't notice that line. All right. Let's start with the Guardians. We got to do baseball. We got to do tennis. Let's start with some of our bets. Because last night was a by and large, quiet night in the world of sports, meaning that there was no basketball game. There was a hockey game, which was awesome. Edmonton comes back to beat Dallas 5-2 and even up their best of 7 Western Conference Finals in the NHL at 2 games apiece. So both the East and the West are 2 games apiece. But Edmonton spotted Dallas 2 goals in the first period. When I say first period, I mean like first minute and then first 6 minutes. So it was 2-0. Edmonton's crowd was quiet. Remember our buddy Andy McNeil, who's from Edmonton, Alberta. He's got Dallas Stars futures, but he's like, it is awkward. He says, like, I have my bet, but I wouldn't be so sad if they lost because for the people of Edmonton, it would be so awesome. And then Edmonton scores 5 in a row, 2 in the first period alone to tie it up in the first frame. But there was, it was amazing. There was a play where a play. There was a sequence where Jake Ottinger, the Stars goalkeeper, he got a save because his stick independently made a save. His stick ended up behind him, and his stick made a save. So not your common stick save, but the stick doing its own thing. And then there was a goal later where Connor McDavid purposely shot the puck off of Ottinger's pads to get it to his teammate Bouchard, who put the biscuit in the basket. It was just an amazing, and they were talking about it. Wayne Gretzky and the crew were talking about it on the broadcast lesson. So that was great in sports. But for our bets, the Guardians go down. And that, for those of us who bet most wins by the end of May update, for most wins in the month of May, here's your update. That's over for us in Circa. They lose to the Rockies. The Guardians do 7-4. Guardians looked like they were double parked that whole game. Like they were like, we just want to go and have our day off. And that's the trippy part about the month-to-month bet is that, again, the manager doesn't know that there's anything on the line. Like late season
bets. The
manager,
the players, the guy in the clubhouse getting the gum together. Nobody knows.
But I say the manager because he left Logan Allen in way too long. And by way too long, I mean, what, 1 1/3, 1 2/3, I think, something like that. He was serving up batting practice. So Guardians lose, and that means for those of us who bet it at Circa, which is the tiebreakers of fewest losses and then best run differential, we're done. We can't win. Only got one game. The best we can do is tie. And we're going to lose the tiebreakers. If you did bet the Guardians at William Hill Caesars, you still could dead heat, but you would need, the Guardians would need to beat the Nationals on Friday. Phillies would need to lose to the Cardinals on Friday, and the Yankees would have to lose twice to the Angels today and to the Giants tomorrow. And that dead heat then could also include the Royals on top of it. That's unlikely, but at least you're still alive. Those of us who bet at Circa are not. So,
might as well double down and just parlay them all then, today, you know?
bottom line is we got our Guardian 65-1 to the last out in April.
Man. It's crazy.
And then in May, we got it to everything but the last game.
What a tease. I mean, good for you. And I don't know if I want to say I hope everybody was doing this all along as well. But, like, you were betting them every day, too.
Yes.
So, like, you're by far, you know, covered. You're way up for the Guardians.
I want to thank the Guardians. I want to thank Adam Burke. It was awesome.
He's got a lot to do with his team.
He does.
I don't even know how he gets work done here.
I took it from him.
He's working in the front office all the time.
Yeah. So that's the Guardians update, and it's not a good one. apologize for that. Now I'm getting a lot of tweets where people are like, "Are you doing? Are you doing June?" And you have been the one egging this on.
Hey! All I said is, as your friend and a better, I'm not pushing anything.
No, you're not saying that as my friend and my better. You're saying it as producer. As producer,
yes.
As content, as we need content. Gil, it's June. I'll take a look today. No promises. I'll look at schedules.
Yeah.
But it is. It has been a great ride. Hasn't cashed ultimately, but was fun. The biggest thing globally in sports yesterday, though, is you know where I'm going. Iga Swiatek, world number one, Naomi Osaka, in a second round match in the French Open at Roland Garros. All the outside courts were done because of rain, but they played at Philippe Chatrier. Thank you. Got it in.
Nailed it.
Just wanted to say it. You like the umpire where they're like, advantage.
Advantage! Swiatek. And I always be like, wait, I heard advantage so clearly. I didn't hear the name, though, of whose advantage it was.
Égalité. This was, and it's so funny for, like, the non-tennis hardos, some of the reactions are like, oh, man, you guys can't even get past second round. That should have been the French Open final.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The quality of play from Naomi Osaka was off the charts. And nobody could have possibly expected this from her on clay. Now, remember, the only two people on tour who have four slams, the only two people on tour who have three slams to their names are Iga Swiatek, who has four, and Naomi Osaka has four. But Naomi Osaka has four on hard courts. This was before she became a mom. So we're talking a few years back. But Naomi Osaka, when she is at the top of her game, I mean, the big takeaway from this, by the way, ought to be, oh boy, U.S. Open, let's see what Naomi Osaka's numbers are once we get to the hard courts. But this match was incredible. When we were here on air, Iga was up a break and in the first set. And as soon as we got off air, I think she was up 4-3, 40 love, and she gacked it. And she ends up winning, Iga does, the first set in a tiebreaker. So you're like, okay, well, I righted the ship. I was just doing it. And then I had to do Ed Feng's podcast. Not had to. Ed was kind enough to put me on. What I mean was that I had a obligation. And so I'm kind of watching while doing the podcast. Poor Ed, I apologize. I have no idea what my answer is.
Oh, yeah.
No idea. Because I did say at one point, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm watching it. Because Naomi crushed her in the second set. And then in the third set,
she looked good. I'm with you. Like, I thought you were toast. I had it on a TV.
This was top level tennis. This was top level tennis. Naomi Osaka deserves all the credit in the world. By the way, what a contrast to remember when she had, like, the mental health issues and we had so many people, even on our air, it was embarrassing, right? Said, oh, look at her with a mental health problem. When you have a fraction of her accomplishments in life, get back to me. So she's up. Naomi is. Two love in the second set, third set. Pardon me. She's up a break in the final set. Two love. But it's love 40, so you're like, oh, here comes Iga. Nope. Naomi comes back and wins that. It's three love. And then you're like, wow, this, like, I don't even know what I'm watching. Then it's 1-4.
Yep.
Iga's serving. And Naomi has a break point to go up 5-1. And Osaka, the first sign of a little nerviness, she hits a backhand into the net, unenforced. And so Iga ends up winning that. It's 4-2. But Naomi gets it to 5-2. So it's 2-5, love 30. Iga serving, 2-5, love 30. This is the point that will get forgotten. 2-5, love 30. Naomi Osaka is 2 points away from upsetting the world number one on her greatest surface in her greatest stadium. And Iga hits a forehand screamer that hits the line in the corner. If that's a centimeter longer, Osaka has three match points. It was an unbelievable shot by Iga. And she ends up holding serve, and it's 5-3. And this is where, now Naomi is now serving for the match on her racket. This is where the Osaka nerves happened. And this is where, yes, as great as Iga was, it was also just Osaka becoming unraveled. People will remember this. At 5-3, 30-15, again, 2 points away from winning the match, beautiful first serve. Swiatek lunges with a backhand. She does all she can to even get it back in play. Swiatek is sprinting left to right, so there's a full court behind her, and Osaka hits the volley into the net, unforced. That was the first thing. Wide open court, smash, put it right into the net. Then 30-30, Iga gets a gets again in an unfavorable position. Osaka hits it long, 30-40, and then Osaka recovered, got a match point. Iga Swiatek, the world number one, has never won a match when she's faced a match point before until this. She gets a second serve, and Iga hits this ridiculous backhand angle that Osaka can only hit into the net. She ends up then getting it to a break point, and Osaka double faults. And we're back on serve. And there was a couple other times when it was 5-5, and because Iga got it to 5-5, where Osaka was serving, and Iga pulverized a forehand winner when it was add-in. Osaka had a point to go up 6-5. Iga pulverized a forehand winner. Add-in again. Iga backhand smash behind her. Then Osaka double faulted to make it 6-5. By the way, the one that went to 5-4 was not the double fault. It was Osaka rushing to the net, and she hit a backhand long unforced. So it was equal parts. Again, it was just nerves for Osaka. Like, oh, my God, I'm so close. And then Iga just being so stealing. Iga ends up winning it, by the way, maybe the greatest shot, 30-15 up 6-5. A backhand angle winner. That was just a thing of beauty. And Iga Swiatek survives. And we survive with all of our future in what was a high, like the highest quality match you are likely to see in this entire tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a lot of that second set, and I was like, Gil's toast. And then I was doing some things around my place. I just kept walking back and forth to TV, and I'm like, like, that's getting a little better. And then watching the very end of it, it's great.
She's pretty good.
Yeah.
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 She's pretty good. Swiatek, updated, minus 165 to win the tournament. We'll come back. Zach Cohen will join us. His French Open plays. Oh, I've got a three still to come. And NBA thoughts. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Find out more at Zyn.com. And for a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. When I say limited, I mean tomorrow is when it ends.
Dunzo tomorrow.
Normally $240, you can now secure your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. But hurry, it ends tomorrow. With VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, though, tomorrow is when it expires. Expired! So visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game.
ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book from T. Sheldahl. He says, I couldn't let the Guardians hurt me again, Gil, so I took the Royals 35-1 this month, so yeah. Anyway, check out the Mariners schedule next month, he says. Okay, I will. Let's see here. So this John Fitzgibbons is tweeting about this. Did you see this play? We talked last week about this play that ended the Orioles-White Sox game where Andrew Vaughn of the White Sox was on second base. There was one out. There was one at first and second.
You made me watch it. It was incredible.
Yeah, like his back is to the outfield.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
The infielder grazes him. I think it was Gunnar. Who was it at the time? Maybe it was Gunnar. The infielder grazes him, makes the catch.
Tell me that happened again last night.
Oh, the Yankees have the bases loaded against the Angels. There's a pop-up to second base. So, you know, Juan Soto sort of lollygags back to second base. He's on second. And again, but the infielder misjudged it. He was in front of it and had to back up into him. So he grazed it. He goes into Soto. They call...
Same thing?
They call Soto out. Aaron Boone goes ballistic. I don't have the audio.
At least they're
on this
consistent.
One. Aaron Boone goes ballistic. He gets tossed, right? And not only that, they called the infield fly rule. So let me just add this layer. So the batter is out no matter what.
Right. Yes.
And so calling interference on Soto also gets to this level of we're not even talking about the actual baseball course of events anymore. Like it's an infield fly rule.
It's an infield fly.
It's insane. I don't know what's going on.
I don't even understand how you can call runner interference on an infield fly.
I don't know.
Because like you're saying, a guy's out anyways.
Kevin Ryan, Gil, unfortunately, baseball is by far the hardest sport to win on. You probably win Cleveland best record, if not for getting taken down by the two worst teams in MLB, hence the whiskey and revolver. He's right. The Guardians' kryptonite this month was the White Sox and the Rockies.
Who's that? Nick Bogdanovich's line?
That's Nick Bogdanovich's That's line. That's exactly right. And then Steven Vegas texting about there's so much drama in baseball. This guy, Jorge Lopez, who pitches for the Mets, who...
Epic.
Terrible outing, throws his glove into the stands, post-game interview says, I play for the worst team in baseball, and the Mets are like, DFA, buddy.
I'm becoming a Mets fan just from some of these guys. That's a great way to say I quit.
Designated for assignment. And then finally, I think this tweet, we got so many Iga tweets, but this one sums it up best. This is from... Iron Wing Cards. Iga just showed the will to match her skill. What a performance. On that note, Zach Cohen joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the glue that holds this whole operation together. VSiN writer, all of his stuff, multiple sports at VSiN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Betting on X. What's happening, man?
Oh, tennis is we're getting to watch. There will not be a lot, but hopefully we get to see some more today.
Yeah, well, first part of Zach's comments got cut off, but what he's saying is it looks like we've got rain again. I have a bet I was just telling you off of Nakashima and Orkats over in games. Nakashima has to win one more game for that to cash, and then rain. Sorry. Now you got to wait 5 hours or however long it's going to be. It's super frustrating.
Can they get a couple of the olds out there in the mud just to, like, play to entertain the fans? Like, I'd watch that. Are you kidding me? Like,
in the mud.
You're like Makarov out there to play in the mud?
I'm not sure if you know what happens to a tennis ball in the mud, but it doesn't really bounce.
Well, let's get a racquetball then or something like that. I don't know. Figure it out.
You haven't just for giggles, whenever these get played, do you have anything left on the card today, Zach?
I do. I have Anna Kalinskaya -150 against Bianca Andreescu. Andreescu just won her first round match, but that was her first win since Wimbledon of last year. She beat a player in Sara Cerebes-Tormo, who has a hold percentage of like 50%. Really just a bad server, someone that struggles with power players because a player like Andreescu can crush her serve. I don't think that she's going to see that type of matchup against Kalinskaya, who's been one of the breakout stars of 2024, 15-10 on the season, really solid all-around game. I'd be surprised if Andreescu were to find a way to beat her, with so much on-court rust. And then I also took Irina Camelia Begu +134 against Linda Noskova, which is just a play on Begu, who's just a proven clay court player in her career. Noskova is only 4-6. On clay at the WTA level, 10 total matches. That's a huge difference in experience. Begu's played over 100 matches on clay in her career. So I just kind of think she's going to find a way to get the job done against Noskova, who's really, really talented. I just think there's going to be a learning curve here as she plays in the French Open, where Begu made the fourth round in 2022.
I love the Begu play. It was one of the last ones I cut for my card, so I didn't play it. I have regrets before it even starts that I didn't, but I like that play. I have three still to come. I have one on the men's side, Flavio Cobolli at +178. You can probably get a couple pennies better than me against Holger Vitus Nadskov Rune. Kelly, you like that name. So Cobolli at +180. I also have Vika Azarenka. I got her at -103 against Mira Andreeva. Azarenka is a bit of a favorite now. I would still play her. I wouldn't let it get past -120. And then I still have Mayara Sharif, the Egyptian, as a $3 dog. I actually got her +308 against Maddie Key. So I think the clay court run ends for Maddie against Sharif today. I like the $3 dog. So those are the ones that I have that have not started. I have three others that are in play and interrupted, which is a whole bunch of fun, as you know. By the way, you buried the headline on Kalinskaya. Yannick Sinner and Kalinskaya are a couple? What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. That's a power couple for the ages. I mean, that's a really, really good one. It was kind of a secret at first, and the Twitter detective saw, a picture where his phone was being called by an Anna.
Yeah.
That's, I believe, how the rumor started, and then they were spotted out together in Rome.
But, how did the rumors get started? Wow, this is Real Housewives.
I believe it was they took a picture of him, with his coaches outside, and on his phone, if you zoomed in, he was getting a call from an Anna.
Oh, Anna. And it just happened to be her.
This is the Tyrese Halliburton FaceTiming from the locker room situation. Yeah, that was incredible.
I don't know that one. What's that?
It was the same thing. Someone took a picture of someone in the stands getting a call from Halliburton.
Oh.
But you're like, I don't know if that's actually him or not.
Last thing on this, because I don't want to make it to the Real Housewives of the French Open, but Yannick Sinner out punting the coverage there, right? Wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, if you watch the Breakpoint on Netflix, Taylor Fritz's girlfriend, Morgan Riddle, said that Yannick Sinner was very cute.
So maybe okay.
I've never heard of Morgan Riddle at all. Definitely don't follow her on Instagram. this is also Nick Kyrgios' ex-girlfriend.
Everyone is Nick Kyrgios' ex-girlfriend, dude.
Legend.
Everyone.
Where's he at? Get the egg back. Get him in the mud bowl.
all right, let's go to basketball. We have basketball tonight. We have game five in Minnesota as the T-Wolves try to achieve step two in the four-step process of history, coming back from a 3-0 deficit. Again, 0-155 in the history of the NBA, teams that trail a best of seven, 3-0. They get the win in game four. Now they're back at home for game five. They would have a game seven at home as well. The Minnesota Timberwolves just keep taking money here. They are up to, well, I see 4.5, but I see some fives out there as well. We've got 4.5 as the consensus on the T-Wolves. 209.5. What are you doing with this?
I like the minus 4.5, honestly. I thought that the Timberwolves got back to playing really good defense in game four. You know, the defensive rating for this team has been about 107 throughout the course of the playoffs. It was way higher in games one through three. Got back down to 107 in that game four. And I thought they did a really good job of containing Luka Doncic. I thought Gobert held his own in drop coverage in that game. And they stayed at home on the shooters for the Mavericks. You know, PJ Washington did not have, you know, a good game from three. I thought that they did a really good job of just contesting shots and not overplaying and not really letting Luka or Kyrie get into their groove. So I thought that they really bounced back strongly. I think that Lively being out for Dallas is a huge deal just because I think he's a much better decision maker than Daniel Gafford. Obviously, it helps to get Maxi Kleber back for the Mavericks, but he looked a little reluctant to shoot, a little rusty out there. So I think that this is a good spot for Minnesota. I would lay the 4.5. I probably would say Dallas gets it done in game six. I'm not expecting, you know, a 3-0 comeback here, but this is definitely the situation that it seems like it would be most likely that it would happen with, you know, the better team being down 3-0 and, you know, Lively being injured.
Yeah, you anticipated my next question, but you answered it with saying if you think the Mavericks do still get it done ultimately. Last thing, we got 30 seconds. Do you anticipate, if that is the case, whether it's the Mavericks or the T-Wolves, but let's take the Mavericks since they're up 3-1, do you anticipate being on them in the finals?
I would be on the Mavericks in the finals. I would just have a really hard time laying, like going away from that number when it's going to be two really strong defensive teams. It's going to be very similar to this series, I think, where the games come down to the final 5 minutes, but I just trust Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving a little more than I do, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Obviously, Jrue Holiday being out there changes things a little bit. Like, he's just such a good player on both ends of the floor, has been there before, has won a championship, but I just think it'd be really hard not to take, like, a plus 180 with Luka, who would be the best player on the floor.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
I have a college basketball bet next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are so close to crowning an NBA champ. You know, when they get around to playing the finals. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Well, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, I'm looking at the screens behind you, and it says Redick, meaning J.J. Redick, is the front runner. Okay, you don't have to turn around and corroborate.
I'm not on camera.
J.J. Redick is the front runner to be the Lakers head coach. Your thoughts, sir?
I think it makes a lot of sense. Dustin Sweetelson gave me some crap about it on Live Bet Sunday when it first got brought up like a month ago. I don't think Ben was there. He takes a lot of days off because he's got bigger, better things to do. It's understandable. It's okay.
Yeah, sure.
But like they've been doing this Mind the Game podcast thing, which is awesome. But
J.J. and LeBron.
Yeah. And it's great. If you're really into basketball, it's two great basketball minds breaking down some really in-depth basketball stuff. But whether it's there, Gil, whether it's on any broadcast, it just gets a little tiring when I feel like I'm being talked down to the entire time by J.J. Redick. He's great. He's such a good analyst. But it's just that's how it comes across on air. So I hope these two get together because you know LeBron thinks, well, I can get J.J. Redick. I could put anybody in as head coach.
Yeah.
And I can still go out there and win. And I'm not really ever anti-LeBron, but it just feels like a very ego move. It's going to happen. So I hope the two of them get together and then fall right on their face the first year.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. Follow him at Kelly Bidlin. That's EY on Kelly.
That's right. Thank you.
On Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, my rundown, once again, I will say this again. My rundown says he's the co-host of Live Bet Sunday with Kelly Bidlin and Dustin Sweetelson, comma, overall great guy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Wilson. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, he joins us now from his abode somewhere here in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben_Wilson_1. That's the number one. How you doing, Ben?
I couldn't have asked for a better intro, Gil. I mean, that's tremendous. Can we also note that J.J. Redick could potentially be the first NBA head coach who has appeared and given betting advice on a DraftKings platform? I just want to point that
out. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he did. Him and our pal Josh Applebaum did a whole podcast.
Oh, that's right. Okay, Ben. Before we get into your College World Series picks here, first of all, I want to thank you for texting me on April 30th when the Guardians were one out away, and then it went all to hell. That was very nice of you. You were not on Live Bet Sunday here recently. Kelly wasn't lying. Where did you go on vacation?
Yeah, it's very hard to get vacation when, you know, we have the five different, network, moving path. Like, I feel like it goes on for like 11 months of the calendar year for me. But I had a little family vacation in Bermuda. It was my great aunt's 80th birthday, which was great because it meant we're 4 hours ahead of the West Coast, which means watching the French Open a lot easier. And I also got to play some clay court tennis. So great time.
Wow.
Great times all around.
Is that legit clay or is that hard true? That's legit clay over there, right?
Oh yeah, legit. It's legit clay. Their clay is sort of a grayish clay, but it very, very nice.
All right, the reason I bring that up is because most people do not go to Bermuda. Bermuda, Kelly, is off, if you went directly east off the coast of North Carolina. That's where Bermuda is. It is
British.
It is expensive. Right. It is an expensive place. What is it? Horseshoe Bay. Was that the nice place? Horseshoe Bay,
yeah.
One of the beaches. It is gorgeous. But like, Ben Wilson's of the world, they go to Bermuda. It's a fantastic place.
Hey, Ben, you know what I've always wondered about it is what's the split on like Americans versus Europeans?
Yeah, good question. I would say it's more like Americans versus Brits because it's, there aren't that many flights to Bermuda. The only international one outside of the U.S. is just London because it's a British colony. So I would say it's probably 65-70% U.S. And when I say U.S., I mean like very wealthy New Yorkers, basically, because it's like an hour and a half flight from New York. I realized this as I did my cross-country jaunt, how easy it is. With the caveat of you have to be basically based in New York or Boston or something like that. And then maybe 30% Brits from the UK.
It's like Mayor Bloomberg hangs out there, Diddy. You know, that kind of crowd.
Yeah, basically.
All right, exactly. Before we get to college baseball, any French Open plays today, Ben, that you've made for everybody?
Not individually. I just wanted to, the Alexander Zverev stuff, and just before we came on, he finished off David Goffin. If you can still get him, like over 4-1. I saw he was plus 470 for the just futures-wise going into the tournament, but I mean, that's part of the draw, which is the quarter, Gil. You and Drew talked about this a bit just in the preview, but especially now that Zverev got over like the one big hump, which was obviously that guy named Rafa and how good he looked in dispatching him in round one. It's pretty telling to me. You see the odds up there that Zverev and Djokovic, who could potentially meet in the size based on the futures, are going to be, around a pick 'em or very, very tightly lined. And the Zverev numbers, the serve points and return points combined now, over the last year on clay are getting up to near 110%, which is sort of like that, the Rafa Djokovic territory that has pretty much been untouchable on that surface. But it's obvious that a guy stylistically, you wouldn't expect to have such good success on just this, this massive imposing big serving guy like Zverev has found so much success. And I mean, I can't remember a time where he was in better form. So that would be the guy I'm kind of targeting right now. And again, Medvedev's a guy he would line up with in the quarters who has been sort of chronically unable to really figure out clay and has almost made a joke at him at his own expense about how poor he is on that surface. So that's kind of my look, at least on the men's side right now.
I like it. All right. I've had Ben on the show to do College World Series with us for a couple years now. And Ben used to say, Gil, I am not a college baseball expert, as he's rattling off like a 13-0 stretch in his game. who do you have in the College World Series? What bets have you made to win it all?
Sure. So unfortunately, it's been a weird year where a lot of times, teams I like at the, say at the start of the season, will then have that inevitable, midseason swoon. It's really hard to play a consistent, start to finish college baseball season. And I'll just kind of wait, get some teams at good prices. And I really wasn't able to do that this year because you know, the teams I covered early that I was really impressed with, Texas A&M, Tennessee. And yet those are your two short shots. So
yeah.
I did not advocate betting those teams. I personally believe those are the, I mean, for my money, who I've watched, those are the two best teams out there right now. And having gotten to, you know, call those teams, see them up close, talk to the coaches, like, I really believe it's just, they've been so good all year. There's just not really value betting them right now, but I do believe those are two of the eight you're going to see in Omaha. And should they stumble at all early, say in regionals, or maybe get down 1-0 in a super regional, that's the time you come in to bet on those teams, because right now you're just paying too big of a tax. So I would kind of just keep those teams in mind. Just, it's not really bettable right now. What I would go to, at least on the regional side, you know, one of the kind of sort of key components, Gil, we've talked about over the years, it's, you know, the, as much as college baseball can be pretty chalky, there are these sort of sleeping giant, you know, mid-major teams that get slept on. And I think one, we have the perfect kind of elixir here of really, really good mid-major who's been there before in Indiana State, who is facing an SEC team. Now they're in part of the 4-team regional here, so it's not, you know, just heads up, but that's the Lexington regional, where Kentucky as an SEC team just naturally is being moon here because of how much respect the SEC gets as the best conference in college baseball. But you look at the advanced numbers, I mean, Indiana State, better numbers on the pitching side overall, better numbers on the hitting side. Granted, you're playing in the Missouri Valley, not the same as the SEC, so you should expect some of that. But they have the Missouri Valley Pitcher of the Year in Brennan Cup, 6-1, sub-4 ERA. Mitch Han is their coach, was just the Missouri Valley Coach of the Year. Really, really solid manager, and led them to Supers a year ago where they lost to TCU there. So I like them to come out of that region. You can get them at 3-1 if you shop around. And, you know, Kentucky was barely in the top 100 of the country in expected fielding independent pitching this season. And they were, you know, preseason picked 5th in the East Division of the SEC. So they were expected to have a bounce back year. Indiana State, that's the best value I like as far as the regional futures. And then I'll go Oklahoma in there. They're not even the favorite in their own regional. They're in the plus 160 range. This is another thing we've talked about in the past, Gil, where it's, you know, those home teams that kind of barely get a hosting spot and are maybe being disrespected a bit by the market. I see that being the case here for Oklahoma. They're in a regional with Duke, who just ran roughshod over the ACC tournament. They won their last three games 32-7 combined. But I kind of feel like Duke is in that position of being a little bit, you know, having peaked a little bit too soon. And I really question how you can follow up just the dominance they showed in that ACC tournament, now going into a much tougher environment on the road here in Norman. And Oklahoma's two top starting pitchers, Braden Davis and Kyson Witherspoon, I've called games of theirs over the last couple seasons, just studs there to lead that rotation, 16-6, about a 120 combined win between the two of them this year. Really hard to do in the Big 12. So those would be my two here for the regionals, plus 160-ish on Oklahoma. But then just keep in mind, you know, Tennessee, A&M, look to bet on them if they stumble at all out of the blocks here.
All right. So Indiana State plus 300, 3-1 in their regional, and Oklahoma plus 160 in theirs from Ben Wilson. Ben, you have a next broadcasting gig lined up where we can hear you? Anything on the docket?
We got arena football this Saturday with the Vegas Nighthawks and Northern Arizona Wranglers. And then Sunday, I will be back. I will be with Kelly on Live Bet Sunday.
You will.
Not going to be in Bermuda. Going to be with you.
And filling in for you next week.
Overall, great guy. Meaning specifically in certain pockets, maybe not. But overall,
exactly.
A great guy. Ben Wilson, thank you. Ben Wilson, everybody. Crackman Unscripted next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So close to crowning an NBA champ, but with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. If you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Billen. Kelly has the Mavericks futures plays. Just a review on tonight's game. Anything for you in the basketball game?
Nothing else on that. Like we've talked about, I think it's really, really tough to figure outside or aside. I would lean over, but I'm not jumping in on that either. Derek Lively was present at shoot-around.
Was he dressed? Present?
But I guess that means he participated in
shooting. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Questionable? Is that his
status? Questionable is the official status.
Yeah. And what's and Porzingis, what's the latest? Is he going to be available for game one of the NBA Finals?
I mean, I think with Lively tonight, I'll say the same thing. I wouldn't be rushing to make bets thinking he's going to be back, because if this is would be the ultimate time of year to mess around with the whole injury reporting, right? Yeah. I mean, had game three, Luka was questionable up to an hour before the game tipped off.
Well, but in the case of Porzingis and Lively,
we don't know anything with Porzingis.
Well, the reason that I put them together, though, is when you're in a favorable position in series, your impetus to put them back in is not there, right? So, like, the Mavericks can still tell themselves, we're still up 3-1, right? Much like with the Celtics, every single one of these series, I know Porzingis kept getting pushed back a game. It's like, but why play him? You're up 3-0 or 3-1, you know, whatever.
So isn't that the difference, though, for when we've talked about the Celtics opponents and when we talk about this series and Jesse asking us about the 156? This is a different series, and I'm not concerned yet about my bet skill yet. But if Derek Lively can go, you got to get him on the court. Like, I'm not messing around, even up 3-1. He's got to get on the court.
For Kelly's bets.
That's right.
Kelly's getting very angry. Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Crackman with a K is his Twitter. Wisecracks, the name of the podcast, which he does with John Orlando, the son of Tony Orlando. Tie that yellow ribbon. Knock three times.
That's right. We've been doing some great shows, too. Wow. I told you, it really has been, we must have hit some kind of an algorithm, because we're on John's Spotify and Apple, which is Action Junkies, and then we're on YouTube under mine, under Crack Wins Network on YouTube, and we've had a lot of views lately and a lot of good comments, and it's a slow time of the year for me, for betting wise. Not like in the middle of football and basketball, college basketball, and you know, of course, props and preseason, whatever it may be. So it's nice getting back to nice people. I try to get back to people on everything, and the show's been going good. We just talk about spontaneous things, like almost like our show, unscripted. Really started here. I've taken it over to the podcast, really, but really. Me and you for years. I have to tell you, how many years has it been? How many years?
7.5.
Wow, 7.5 years. Yeah, no, it's been a great 7.5 year run here.
You just gave the guys lunch back there?
Oh yeah. You know, I said I never see who's in the back of the house.
Yeah.
I said, so I went back there. There was three guys back there. They were playing checkers or chess or something. And
paying very close attention.
No, I'm joking. Yeah. They were all working. Yeah. And I said, you know, I'm going to go buy these guys lunch. I said something to myself. What other guest buys you lunch? You know.
Standing ovation.
Yeah, no. But you know, you don't see all these people that work so hard behind things.
You do not. Yep.
And, you know, so you just give them a bill. Because my problem is when I, like, offer that, I'm too specific. I'm like, hey, you guys want McDonald's? Like, they're probably like, Gil, we want something else, but not McDonald's. So it never happens. Free futures tickets for all of you. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Are we going to talk about your hash brown addiction or no?
if you like hash browns, like McDonald's hash browns,
yeah,
we got a new fast food chain coming. I'm not a fast food guy, but you wouldn't know it, but I'm not. However, there's a thing called Bojangles.
Bojangles,
which is it's from the South.
We had it in D.C.
Oh, you've had it.
Bojangles.
So they have these little hash brown thing called Bo Rounds that a buddy of mine in South Carolina introduced. They were great. So I just that's coming to town now.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a ton of locations. Are you talking about the actual McDonald's hash browns?
Here's,
which I don't think I've ever had.
Here's the problem.
In decades.
I am not a fast food guy, nor am I necessarily a McDonald's guy.
Yeah.
But when we move to the D, the problem is there's this McDonald's downstairs.
So convenient. Oh.
So what am I supposed to do? Not have McDonald's breakfast?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I like the hash browns are awesome.
You know, it's funny because McDonald's is the only thing I would ever eat there is a morning thing. It's a the egg.
By the way,
egg sandwich.
Egg McMuffin.
That's it. That's
the classic.
The only,
I like
the classic. Yeah, the McMuffin. That's the only thing. But yet, everyone come. Listen, I have buddies come here for their stones. As soon as they got their limo. These are big money guys, too. As soon as they got in the limo, they had to go right to In-N-Out Burger. I don't get that fascination.
I don't get it either.
Like everyone else.
I really don't get it.
It's a very,
I guess because we live here, maybe.
I'm so glad you brought up.
It's a California thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a California thing.
They live in Myrtle Beach. They came here all the time, right to In-N-Out Burger. He gives $100. He stays at a hotel. He gives the butler $100 to go get him two In-N-Out Burgers.
The In-N-Out Burger that's right off the middle of the strip is the most traveled to destination for Uber and Lyft drivers in Las Vegas.
I did not know that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Now we actually went to a new one because I actually met him at the airport and I followed him. We went to a new one that was there's no eating inside. It's outside only, right next to the Raiders stadium. It's an outdoor only.
Oh, on that other side.
Yeah,
right?
on the other side. Yeah. By the way, great location to go to.
There's like a bar or something over there too, right?
It was all outside things set up, but you can't eat inside. So apparently In-N-Out doesn't realize that we've had very cold winters here the last couple winters. But
hot summers.
The In-N-Out thing is, it's very California thing. There's also a secret menu.
Right. Yeah.
So it becomes this
cult
thing.
Cult thing. Yes.
A cult thing. By the way, their fries are not good.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a good like the fries either. It's a good burger, but people make it sound like it's the greatest.
But how can it not be good fries? If they're actually taking the potatoes in front of you, fresh cutting them and frying them. I don't get it.
Well,
they're
not using have the other ones that are prepared. I don't want to see how they're prepared.
That's right.
Okay?
They're using probably a healthy oil and that doesn't have the taste of the same
fries.
Oil that you've been cooking in all week. Yeah. Probably, yeah. No, you're probably right.
Give me a Five Guys burger any day over In-N-Out.
Good question in Las Vegas locally on Twitter asked the other day. Yeah. What's the best hamburger in town? I like a good burger.
Yeah, me too.
Now, why do I have to give Peter Luger's more credit? Right now, the best burger to me is the Peter Luger's burger.
You've said that multiple times. Yeah. I got to go have
the Peter Luger. Go to the bar.
I got to have that.
Go to the bar. And no? No good?
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Oh, wow. Is it not your sushi place?
You got the burger, though, there? You had the burger?
I got the burger there. I did not think it was that great.
Wow. See, I got a really good burger there when I had it.
Bill 80's spot has the best burger.
Okay. We're allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, seriously.
Oscars downtown.
Oh, someone else talked. That was on the list. That was when someone else said Oscars.
Oscars is the best burger in Vegas.
Yeah, Oscars. Okay.
I had a friend arguing with me the other day. Does that ever happen to you guys? Someone misremembering sometime you were with them. He was like, "Remember that time we were at Oscars?" I'm like, "I've never been to Oscars before." Yes, you were. You were there with me. Blah 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 blah. Yelling at me. I've never been there before in my life. Man.
I love that.
What you're talking to? No idea what you're talking about.
You know who was with him? Preston Johnson was with him.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, "You were with me, and you had a terrible bet that day." Like that guy screaming at you at the sound point.
Nice call on the under of the All-Star game.
That's right.
So Fez just said, I can give this out. Perfect. Fez, and this will move, folks. Get your pens ready.
Well, I'm going to guess before you even tell me,
okay.
This is a NFL play in one of these early weeks of the season.
That's exactly what it is.
I knew it.
NFL week one. Get your money out and prepare for the sports books to hope you die before the game comes off. Yes, week one. Jaguars and Miami under 49.5. So the problem with Fez, I love him to death. He's listening. He says, hey, MGM has 49.5. So instantly I go to my BetMGM app on air, rudely, you know, on the show, and it's, of course, 48.5. And why? Because Fezzik told me and five other people.
Yeah.
So, which I would have, you know, certain places I have better limits for sure because BetMGM, which sponsors one of my shows, they're very good to me on their app. So,
now here's my follow up question. Percentage of the audience that just heard that play that will actually go ahead and
excellent
bet
question.
A week one
very low.
Total.
Very, very
give me,
low.
Give me a percentage of the audience.
You know, we have a very smart audience.
Yeah. We do.
We have a very astute audience, so it's going to be more than just a regular show.
I think 21%.
21?
I'd say 21%. Much less.
Much lower.
Much lower.
I think the numbers game audience is higher than anyone else, but I still don't think it's close to 21%.
All right.
That is going to bet a week one game here on May 30th?
I don't know. Stevie Fezzik throwing out games. You never know.
Well, there's the first person that showed me they bet under 49.5.
Oh, I'm not saying it's no one.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying most people are going to hear that and be like, that's awesome. 21%
is way high, too, because how many people are in their car right now listening? Or how many people listen to podcasts for too,
or you could do the Matt Brown thing where in the middle of the freeway you screech on your brakes and make a bet on it. Don't text while you drive, boys.
I've done that too, and Gil's right.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys, I've gotten plays like this in the middle of driving. I'll pull over, though.
Bet,
I'm going to pull over anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That couldn't make it home, man. Pull off the highway.
Myar Sharif, our $3 dog, after getting bageled in the first set, is up 5-3, up a break in the second set. So we could be live heading into a third set. Billy, always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. See you guys in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side. On the picture side, Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.